Chinatowns, Episode 9.
However can it float? It's as big as a house.
She's like a cathedral on the water.
Hello all.
Henry, Anna,
Beatrice.
Such a crowd once you come into the docks.
They call Liverpool the slum of Europe.
How can they say that? I think it's fascinating.
Let me take your bag, Beatrice.
Thank you. The carpet bag has all my painting things. I didn't dare let the porter have it.
Where are Mr. and Mrs. Sutton?
Already on board. They'd like to get settled in.
Agnes will never believe me when I tell her about this.
We can buy her a postcard on board and send her reports of our adventures.
Can we? I'd like that.
You really must have the best time, Miss Tellwright. I insist upon it.
Do you think the sea might be rough?
No, the weather forecast is calm. You mustn't worry.
Do you know it's possible to die from seasickness?
Beatrice suffers on ships.
Perhaps you should stay on deck for the fresh air.
Oh, no. I shall retire to my couch. Come and see me later. Tell me the moment we sight land.
Suppose we go round and inspect things for a bit.
Oh, I'd like that. It's so big.
Not as big as the Atlantic liners. 320 feet all over. I sailed on one last year.
Shall we get quite out of sight of land?
For a little while.
I can hardly believe it.
I do hope you'll enjoy yourself, Miss Tellwright.
It's already extraordinary. We haven't even set sail.
Excellent. Let's go and find some tea.
You must have some more toast, Father. There's plenty of butter.
Ah, you're a good girl, Agnes. Just like your mother.
Am I?
If I gave your mother a shilling for her housekeeping, she always managed to give me back threepence.
Is it true she worked in a newspaper shop?
Aye. She earned her own money.
And you met her when you went to buy a newspaper?
That's right. That's how we met. Now, I have work waiting for me.
I'd be very careful when I go shopping this week, Father. I won't waste money. You'll see. I'll be just like Mother.
Have some more tea, Miss Tellwright.
We are very formal, aren't we? Given that we are about to spend 2 whole weeks on holiday.
You're right, of course. Well, Anna, let me give you some tea, and you must call me Henry. Although, I've always wished I was called something else.
Really?
Henry sounds a bit like someone's grandfather or an old dog.
Do you think I should see if Beatrice is feeling better?
She won't be. She's determined to be unwell for the whole journey, but don't worry, she'll perk up as soon as she gets to the house. Ah, there we are. Can you see something?
I think so.
That's our destination, the Isle of Man. You're a tremendous traveller, you know, not a sign of illness.
I feel wonderful. I wish I could cross the sea every day.
This is to be your room, George. I expect it will feel a bit strange at first.
Thank you very much, sir.
The main thing is for you to have a rest and get better. When I was your age, the thing I liked doing best in the world was painting.
I like painting, but I only have blue and yellow left at home, and I can't have any more until my birthday, because Mother says paints cost money.
Tell you what, after we have tea, how about I show you my paints and maybe we could start a picture together? What do you say?
Can I make a painting for Mother?
Of course you can. So, that's settled.
Do pass me the marmalade, Anna. This sea air always makes me ravenous. How did you sleep?
Not very well. I think I was overexcited. This is my first time away from home.
Then it'll be a nice change for you.
What are we doing today?
Well, Henry is determined to take us on some vast walk. There's nothing he enjoys more than tramping up a mountain. But I have a mind to do some painting.
What do you think of Henry?
He's very hard-working. And good with the children at Sunday school, and he has a lot of ideas about things.
I see. Well, he's certainly smitten with you.
Oh, there.
Just make sure you don't let him bully you and walk you too far.
Are you really not coming?
If he asks, you haven't seen me.
I thought we might try to make our way right to the very top. If you don't feel it's too much. There's a marvellous view.
I like to walk. I don't suppose you get much time to holiday with your business.
No. It's easy to forget what nature has to offer. I feel that very keenly for my workers.
What do you mean?
I have men and women at my works, good people. Some have never had a holiday, never travelled further than Hanbridge. Their whole existence is labour, and their children the same.
Do you wish you could change things for them?
No, I think we can all do something. I do have plans.
Tell me about them.
Oh, are you really interested in such things?
Oh, yes.
Well, I see no reason why anyone should be forced to suffer simply because of where they were born and what they started life with.
Father says it's the natural order, that every person has his place.
But your father bettered himself, didn't he?
He thinks becoming rich by hard work is perfectly acceptable. That everything comes down to a man's own efforts.
Look down, Anna, on all the houses. Are we really meant to believe that God himself placed each and every one of us into our own little patch of earth, and we must accept our fate?
What do you think?
I think progress is coming. Steam engines will change everything. Railways will crisscross the country and set us free. It's impossible to even imagine how the next generation will live. I'm sorry. I'm being boring.
No, not at all. I want you to tell me. I want to understand.
Take my hand. Let's go all the way to the top. Look down now.
What a view!
This is the summit. You can see for 30 miles. That way is Castletown, the lighthouse at Scarlet Bay. Oh, the little cove is Port St. Mary, and that's the Calf of Man with its one little house.
Oh, yes!
And if you look over there, you'll just glimpse the mountains of Mourne, Ireland.
It's like the light is alive. And look, the moon!
Anna, what is it? What's the matter?
I just never knew that the world could be so much.
What the devil?
Hello, Uncle Edwin.
What on earth are you doing throwing stones about the place?
I'm practicing breaking crocs. But I missed. I'm very sorry.
Lucky you only hit the old greenhouse. It hasn't been used in years. Still, it's not advisable to go smashing the place to pieces. Let's sit up here.
Can't get up there.
Give me a hand. This used to be the old orchard. You can get a good view from this wall.
Did you go to play in the orchard when you were my age?
No. We didn't live here then. We lived down in the town, over the printing works.
I could see the top of the steam car coming up the hill.
So you can. What are you doing with these old crocs, anyway?
Cook told me I could have them to play with, so I was breaking them.
I bet she never told you to prop them up in front of the greenhouse.
No, but it was a good place for aiming, and she said it doesn't matter because they make crocs here.
Yes, they do.
Why?
Because there's clay here. Yeah, they had the clay and the coal to burn it lying close together in the ground. It was handy for them. But the clay wasn't white.
Why does that matter?
When's the last time you saw a well-to-do lady or gentleman drinking a cup of tea from a red or brown cup?
Never. Mother's cups and saucers are white.
That's right. And the white clay comes all the way from Cornwall. Now, people got more particular and they wanted matching crocs made with white clay. And it was easier to bring the clay to the works than take all the people and their families to the clay.
Did they use up all the red clay?
Ever seen a saga?
I don't know what one is. Will you show me?
Not now, but we could go tomorrow.
You won't forget?
Don't worry. I won't forget.
Have you written your postcard for Agnes today?
This morning. I put it in the postbox first thing.
She'll be missing you, won't she?
I'm sure she cried herself to sleep the first night.
I'm very fond of her. She's quick and bright and almost like a little woman.
That's exactly how she is. Sometimes I think she's a great deal older than I am. I'm glad you like her.
She thinks the world of you. Mind, she won't be happy for me to tell you that.
Oof. There's a nip in the air. Here, put this muffler around your neck.
Oh, no, really. You'll need it yourself.
Well, please, take it. I expect they'll be wondering where we've got to.
Yes.
It's the end of our day.
We have tomorrow. And more days, too.
Yes, we do. We're blessed. And we are greatly in need of hot tea. Let's go home.
What extraordinary adventure did that man force upon you today, then?
Oh, he didn't force me at all. We had a marvellous day.
Here, have a chocolate and tell me everything.
We climbed all the way to the top of the summit of Brada.
How bracing.
What did you do?
I took my easel out along the cliffs.
Weren't you lonely?
Loneliness is more in the head than the heart. Don't you agree? Really, I can be quite happy with my own company.
Henry says we might go fishing tomorrow. Do come with us.
Oh, not likely. I should turn green as a dumpling. Are dumplings green? Well, they would be if they had to go bobbing about in a boat. Turn down the gas, will you, before you get in?
I would never have been able to come here if you hadn't made Father let me.
Everyone deserves a break in their routine. You'll see. You'll go home feeling restored.
Thank you, Beatrice.
For what?
For being my friend.
This great engine makes the steam for the whole works, George. Well, before it was here, everything was done with coal.
Isn't she something grand, Uncle Edmund?
She is grand, now that you come to mention it. Let's have a look at the kiln. They can get 3,000 pots in, and they have to be stacked right to the top.
Bring it up there. All right,
man. It's like being in a cave, or inside a mountain.
Fires never go out.
And there's lots of boys my age. I bet they get hot.
Well, I did a week in a works once. I was 16.
Were you a potter?
I was whatever they told me to be. It's a hard life, George. Count your blessings you'll never have to suffer as the poor boys do in a place like this.
Sometimes I think God isn't very fair about people, what they have to do. What do you think, Uncle Edwin?
If I were you, I shouldn't worry about God.
I try not to, but now and then he comes up in your head, doesn't he?
Mrs. Sutton says there'll be a fish supper in half an hour.
Just time to complete the worst marine landscape you've ever seen in that case. My noble fishermen look a lot like beer barrels being swept out to sea.
I wish I could paint.
Maybe you should take it up. It's very useful to have a vocation. It provides an escape route from no end of dreary social situations. I'm sure Da Vinci never had to show his face at a village fete if he didn't want to. I expect he'd simply wave a notebook around and say he had things to do. There.
I wish you'd come rowing with me and Henry.
I'm sure Henry was only too happy to have you to himself.
I don't know what you mean.
You know you are just the sort of person Henry should be taking for a row in a boat.
There's nothing between us, really.
Well, then there should be. You're perfect for one another, and that's all I have to say about it. Now, if I don't eat in the next 5 minutes, I shall wilt. I'll take the easel. Could you carry my box?
How long have you known Henry?
You mean before we were engaged?
You were engaged?
But didn't I tell you? It was very silly, and a long time ago.
But don't you mind that he's here? Do you mind him spending time with me?
Oh, my dear girl, you are sweet. But really, it was never as if we were actually going to get married. Goodness, can you imagine me climbing mountains and scuttling about in some rock pool? No, really, I'm just glad to see him so happy.
If we row out across the bay, I can show you the caves.
It's so warm.
Do you swim? No. You should get Beatrice to show you. I swam out here before breakfast this morning. I was almost alone, except for the birds.
Weren't you afraid?
Far from it. I feel at home in a place like this. Even though it's nothing like home. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. I do.
Oh, this sun is hot. We'll get dreadfully sunburnt, I'm afraid. You'll look as brown as the fishermen down at the pier.
That's what I want. They'll never know me when I get home.
Oh, mind your head. The entrance to the cave is just under this overhang. You'll need to duck down as we go in. Can you imagine the thousands of years this has been here?
Everything's so smooth and black.
Completely unknown by people. And the better for it, if you ask me. It's magic, too.
Magic?
Oh, yes. There's an old man in here, and he sings as long as you're not looking at him.
Oh, where? Where is he?
Close your eyes. Close them. He never comes out while you're looking. Are they closed?
I don't believe you.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Oh, Anna, what's the matter? I've upset you.
I've felt so much these last few days.
But that's good, isn't it?
Yes, but I might have gone through my whole life and never known any of this. I feel like I've been living in darkness, and now I've come into the light.
I like this ultramarine.
Yes, it's a favourite of mine too.
Did you paint when you were my age, Uncle Edwin?
Yes, but it had to be in secret. My father thought it was foolishness.
You can come and paint the canal every day, and it would always be a different picture.
Does your mother like to paint?
No, but she takes me to art galleries. She worked for a newspaper once and learned shorthand, which is almost a language. Did you know that?
Yes, I did. How have you liked staying at my house while you're getting better?
I've liked it a great deal. Have you enjoyed it?
Very much, thank you.
It's a pity I shall have to leave soon.
Oh, why is that?
Once I'm better, I mean.
Ah, yes.
And I won't have anyone to paint with then. Maybe you'll come to see me?
Come on, finish up, we've lost the light.
You sent Agnes her card?
Yes. It's hard to believe we'll be back in Bursley tomorrow.
Has it really only been 2 weeks since we arrived? I'm suddenly struggling to find my voice. Anna, it's no use making a long story of it. I'm in love with you. You know I am.
I thought you liked me.
I can't tell you how I admire you. I've simply never met anyone like you. From the very first moment, I was overwhelmed. Anna, will you be my wife?
We've only known each other for...
What does that matter? If it had been a dozen years instead of one, it would have made no difference. Say yes, Anna. Say you'll marry me.
Henry.
I'll make you happy. You can depend on it. Say yes.
Yes. I'll be your wife.
Beatrice! Hello!
Oh, Lord.
Didn't you hear me?
Were you calling?
You do pick the most awkward places to paint. A few more inches and you'll be in the sea.
I strive for solitude when I'm working.
Oh, I've barely seen you this past week. Anyone would think you're avoiding me. Thank you.
What for?
For making it possible for Anna to come. You're the nicest girl.
You're too kind.
Do listen. I feel bad that things couldn't have been different. for us.
Anna will make you happy. You're made for each other.
You didn't have to help it all along, but you did.
You must be mistaking me for someone who's sensitive and caring.
I'm grateful.
Now go away. I have to finish this before we get marshalled in for sardines on toast or fish head stew or whatever's on the menu tonight.
All right.
Agnes! Agnes, I'm home!
Oh, how early you are!
We caught an earlier train.
There's a cabbie here with your box. Are you in the habit of flitting about in cabs after your wanderings now?
I've paid him, Father.
I reckon you could have hired a lad to carry it for tuppence.
I'm so glad you've come back. Has Mr. Minus proposed to you?
How did you know, Agnes?
I knew he would sometime. Will you be married soon?
Not for a very long time.
Am I to keep house alone? But I'll come to see you every day. Father will have to let me. Does he know that you're engaged?
Not yet, and you mustn't say anything.
You sit at the table, Anna, and I'll give you and Father tea. I've made every meal since you've been gone, and Father says I've done quite well.
Thank you, Agnes. This looks very nice.
And Father swept the kitchen chimney, and the soot nearly got out of the sack and stifled us.
No point in paying for a man when all it needs is a broom.
Mr. Minor said he'd come in to see you around tea time, Father.
Aye.
I expect you've been busy while I've been away.
Well, I've not been lolling around like them as goes on holidays.
Thank you for my postcards, Anna.
If Miners wants me, I'll have to come to the Dragon. I'm due there within the hour.
Agnes, go and stop clearing the kitchen.
And I'll be wanting a clean shirt before I go out.
Yes, Father.
Father, I've something to tell you. Mr. Miners has asked me to marry him. We settled he should come up tonight to see you. I can't think why he hasn't come. It must be something very unexpected, or he'd have been here by now.
And what did you say to this proposal?
I said I would.
I see. I reckon it was for that you went gadding off to the seaside.
Father, I never dreamt of such a thing. I do wish Henry had come and spoken himself. He said he'd come tonight.
Oh, then I'm to be consulted.
Of course, Father.
You've soon arranged things between you.
You like Henry, don't you, Father?
Henry, is it? He's a hard-headed man and he knows the value of money. Aye, that he does. He knows which side his bread's buttered.
What do you mean?
You know what I'm at, lass. Do you think he isn't marrying you for brass? Never, that wouldn't bother you as long as you're hooked up to a good-looking chap.
Father!
Well, you can bridle, but it's true.
Henry has never even mentioned money to me.
Oh, happen not. He's not such a fool as all that. Are you free to wed? Women will do it. You're just like the rest.
Will, can I help you?
No.
It's my dad.
What's the matter with him?
I got him here.
Here?
Put him under the blanket on the cart. He's passed.
Titus, he's died.
I found him, you see. So I got to take him to the police station.
Will, man, you've got to sit down. You look like you'll fall over.
He's been low these last few days. Couldn't even get him to come with me to Sunday school.
Tell me, now, what's happened?
We always have supper together of an evening. He never came home. So I went down to the works. And I found him. Hanging he was. In the slip house. Oh. So I need to take him to the police station now and tell them what's gone on.
I'll go with you, Will.
I don't want to put you to any trouble, sir.
I'll come with you.
This is a fine time to come calling.
I apologise, Mr. Tellwright, but a very sad thing has happened, and I didn't want you and Anna to hear it from someone else.
Well, you'd best get on.
Titus Price, I'm afraid. He's died.
Oh, no.
You should sit down, Anna.
What happened?
There's no point in distressing yourself.
Please tell me.
Get on with it, lad.
I'm afraid he took his own life.
Oh.
I've just helped Will take his father's body to the police station.
Why? Why did he do it?
Business troubles, I suppose. It couldn't be anything else. Young Price bore himself splendidly.
He must have been so afraid and alone. Oh, poor Will.
It's late, so I'll see myself out. Good night, Mr. Tellwright. Anna, we'll talk again tomorrow.
Well, I'm not surprised. Suicide's in that blood. His brother tried to kill himself twice before he died of the gravel. We'll have to do something with the works now.
The whole town knows we were one of his creditors.
Aye.
That we pressed them for money, pressed them hard.
It's business, lass. It's only to be expected. Now send Agnes in with coal for the fire.
Don't you think it's late to still be awake, George?
I was writing to Mother.
Well, that's a nice thought.
I made her a picture of the big kiln with all the people inside it.
I'm sure she's missing you. Are you all right? You look very hot.
I'm often like this. Mother says I'm like a chimney.
Oh, well, chimney or not, I think we'd better call the doctor just to make sure.
The doctor will cost a lot of money.
Don't worry about that, George. It'll be all right.
You did the right thing to fetch me, Mr. Clayhanger.
The boy was perfectly all right this morning. By tonight he was shivering and burning up.
I should telegram the mother.
Is that really necessary?
The most likely explanation is influenza. There are more than a dozen cases in the town. The boy has succumbed before, you say?
But that was nearly a year ago.
It will have left him weakened. You're alone in the house here, except for your servant and your aunt. He'll need constant care. Apart from which, the presence of his mother would be conducive to his recovery. And if anything were to happen, she would wish to be here, no doubt.
I'll telegram tonight.
Anna,
I'm glad to see you this morning.
I haven't got long. I just told Father I'd slip out to go to the post office.
You do understand why I couldn't come and speak to your father last night?
Of course.
I couldn't let young Price go to the police station alone.
I'm dreadfully upset about it. I can't help but think that Father and I are to blame.
For Price's death? How?
We've been so hard on him for his rent.
Oh, my dearest girl, the idea is absurd. You've only thought this because you're so sensitive and highly strung. Price was in over his head everywhere, everywhere. He hadn't a chance.
I'm not highly strung.
But come now, don't upset yourself. There's nothing you could have done.
I'm sorry, Henry, but I really must go. Father's expecting me back.
Will? Are you there? Oh! There you are. You shouldn't be here, Will.
Can't be in the house. Got things to do. I've given everyone the day off, but I need to get on.
I'm so sorry about your poor father.
Thanks.
Mr. Miner said you did everything for him.
It wasn't much. Worked hard all his life. He was never lazy.
I know that.
Just couldn't make ends meet no matter how hard he tried.
He was a good man.
Maybe they won't bury him because of what he did. Suicide. I bet I'll have to think about that.
I feel it was my fault.
How do you reckon that, miss?
Asking him for money. Always pressing.
He'd never have thought that. Never thought badly of anyone. Anna, there's something you're going to find out. And it's best if I make a clean breast of it. You remember that bill of exchange we gave you some weeks back towards the rent?
Yes.
It's forged. Mr. Sutton had given us a bill of £30, but we'd paid it into the bank. When your father sent word down, you remember, that he put the bailiffs in if he didn't have £25 the next day. We were just turning the corner then. There was a goodish sum coming from a firm in London in a month's time, and if we could only hold off till then, the dad could see daylight for us. But he knew there'd be no getting round your father. So he had the idea of using Mr. Sutton's name, only temporary-like. He sent me to the post office to buy a bill stamp. You take this up to Tellwright and tell them we'll redeem it and all will be well. No harm done, Will. It was the ruin of that London company that finished my poor dad off.
Oh, Will. Whatever will you do?
There's nothing to be done. You must tell your father. Say I'm ready to go to the police station when he gives the word. It's a bad business, but I'm ready for it.
Can't we do something?
Your father keeps the bill, doesn't he? Not you.
I could ask him to destroy it.
He wouldn't. Excuse me saying that, but he wouldn't. I want you to know, Anna, and I speak for my father as well as myself, it was never that we meant to fail you or your father. If we could have managed it, we'd have done everything well.
I have no doubt of that.
You've always been kind.
I'm at fault. Terribly. I should have helped you, but my father... There's no arguing with him.
We're both of us in a trap. It's our fate. Oh, my poor dad. He'd have died ashamed to hear us speaking like this.
I'll come and see you here tomorrow afternoon. I'll think of something. I promise.
Come on, old chap. Try and drink some water. You should want to get better so you can try out that easel I bought you.
Where's Mother?
She's coming, George. Don't worry. She's on her way.
How is he?
Much the same.
The vicar died at 4 o'clock today.
Died? Of influenza?
Constance Povey is unwell. I sent Ellie home this afternoon. She was feeling faint. And the poor Duke of Clarence...
George is strong. Oh, he's only 10.
No word from the mother?
Not yet.
Perhaps you should try again and make sure she understands.
I'll go now.
Do something wrong.
But won't Father find out?
Yes, he will. I'm going to tell him.
I don't understand you.
This little piece of paper could do a great deal of harm. We need to make sure that never happens. Now go back to bed. I need to put these ashes in the kitchen grate, and not a word.
I'd never tell, I promise. I'd never betray you.
I know you wouldn't. Thank you. Now, quickly, bed. It's almost light. Will?
Oh, miss. I wasn't expecting you. I'm all in my dirt.
It's all right. You needn't worry anymore. It's all right.
What do you mean?
I've got that paper and I've burnt it.
Does your father know?
No, but I shall tell him this afternoon. It's all right. I've burnt it. Will, please.
But you do so much for me. I know your father will be angry.
I did what I should have done before and failed to do.
I can never thank you enough.
I should have stopped Father pressuring you and your poor dad, but I didn't know how to. I was an awful coward.
I knew you were a wonder the first time I saw you. You have a good heart, and I know you suffer too.
Will.
I know I can mean nothing to you, because I have nothing. But if my heart was of any value, I'd give it gladly. I love you, miss. I watch for a glimpse of you in the street, in chapel, in Sunday school. To see you is like air and food to me. And the very sight of you brings the world alive. I love you with all my heart.
Mr. Tellwright's asking for you in the yard, sir.
I'll go down. He won't see you.
Young Will Price. And Anna. What are you doing here? I asked you a question.
Father, I was just coming back home.
Then I'll go with you.
Please, Father, let me explain.
I met the Reverend Banks in the street and he told me you were seen going into Price's works. What business does the lass have there, I asked myself, whatever it might be. You said nought about it to me. but I never suspected a daughter of mine was up to any tricks.
I wasn't.
I think you were. Now, what is it? What's the carrying on between you and Will Price? I'll have it out of thee.
There's no carrying on.
Then why have your secrets? Sneaking about, creeping like a brazen mole.
Father! Will Price wanted to come and see you, but I told him not to. He confessed to me that the bill of exchange they gave us against the rent was forged. He said he'd forged Mr. Sutton's name on it.
Did he now? Get on with your tale.
He said he was ready to go to prison as soon as you gave the word, but I told him I'd have no such thing. I said it must be settled quietly, that he should leave it to me. They were driven to the forgery by desperation.
Do you mean to say that blasted scoundrel told you he'd forged a bill and you said you'd settle it? Where's that paper?
It isn't there. It isn't there.
Then where is it?
I got up early this morning. I burnt it.
What?
It was mine, really. The Edward Street works belonged to me. I thought...
You thought? Shame on you, Anna Tellwright. Shame on you for a shameless hussy. A daughter of mine just promised to another man.
Father, I took pity on him. He has nothing.
You are an accomplice in forgery. You take yourself off to see the scamp on the sly. Have you told Henry Miners?
I will tell him, if you like.
Look, you here. If you breathe a word of this to Henry Miners or any other man, I'll cut your tongue out. A daughter of mine. If you breathe a word...
I won't, Father.
Get away from me! I can't look at you. I shall never look upon you again as I once did. Get out!
So King Arthur summoned his knights to attend him at the Round Table, and it was Sir Lancelot who first spoke again of Merlin and everything the old man had foreseen.
Hilda's here.
Oh.
Is he... Is he...
He can hear you. Come closer. Have this chair. His temperature keeps going up.
George, it's Mother.
Mother?
Oh, I'm here. I'm here now. Close your eyes. I'm with you.
I'll leave you.
Edwin, thank you. It's over. It's all right.
Father is so angry. Did you do something terrible?
I tried to help poor Will Price. I should have helped him long ago.
But Father said such awful things to you, Anna. I could hear him through the floor.
It was terrible, but it's over now.
He does frighten me.
I know. But now that I've done the most awful thing in the world, at least we know he can't kill us. All he does is rage, and we can face the storm.
When you marry Mr. Miners, I'll be left here all alone with him.
I won't let that happen.
He won't listen to you. He never listens to anyone.
I'll talk to Henry. We'll find a way for you to come and live with us. It'll be all right. We'll find a way.
The doctor's gone for more medicine. Auntie sent this tea up for you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, sit down with us.
How's his temperature?
105. I've been through it with him before, but never like this.
I don't know whether you know it, but we're great pals, George and I.
Of course I know. You're the only person he's ever really cared for. He likes you better than he likes me.
That's hardly true.
Oh, I'm quite sure of it. But the way he talks, the things he writes about you...
If he takes after his mother, that won't help.
What do you mean, if he takes after his mother?
Could anyone tell what you're thinking by the way you talk and write?
I know I've hurt you terribly.
For a long time, I thought you'd come back. Then, much later, I started to be in the world again.
I know how much you've achieved. You're an important man now. And I never deserved your coming to help me and George.
I think, looking back, so much of my work... My place on the council. It was all just a way of not thinking about you.
Will Price is here, gentlemen.
Let's have him in, then.
Good morning, Reverend. Mr. Tellwright, Mr. Miners.
Sit down, Mr. Price.
You have all our sympathies, Will. The bankruptcy coming so hard on the heels of your father's death.
I've no sympathy. I'd like that on the record.
This is not a minuted meeting, Mr. Tellwright.
Happen it should be. He owes my family money.
I've spoken to Miss Tellwright, sir.
I know. Don't do it again. Anything to do with business, you talk to me.
Gentlemen, if we might stick to the matter in hand.
Yes, indeed, Reverend Banks. I'm here to represent your creditors, Will.
Father's creditors?
Yours now, I'm afraid. You inherit the debt, even though you may not have incurred it yourself.
Ha! Mr. Tellwright?
Ask him what I mean. He knows full well.
I'll be the trustee for all your creditors under something called a deed of arrangement. Your business will be sold as a going concern, and I hope it will raise enough to pay your rent arrears. The sale of your father's house will be set against your other debts.
There'll barely be fourpence once the mortgage is paid.
How long before I must move out?
A few weeks at most. It's best if you start making arrangements now.
You and your father have been faithful members of this congregation, Will.
Yes, sir. I'd like to keep my position at Sunday school, if I may. I do think I help the children with their reading.
A bankrupt in charge of children? You're as touched as your father.
That's rather a delicate issue. While we can't actually dismiss you as afternoon reader...
Resigned, man, if you have any gumption.
Will, I'm sorry.
Very well. If that's what you recommend, sir, I resign.
Weak as water, crooked as a country mile. Are you not going to fight?
Would it make any difference?
It would show you're a man.
Mr. Tellwright.
There's no good dancing round it. He owes every man jack of us here.
I'll work. I'll pay it all back if you give me time.
It's too late for that.
I think our business is concluded. Thank you, Will, for coming, and thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Reverend. Mr. Tellwright. Will?
Hold on, Price.
Sir?
The bill of exchange. I know what you did. I'll not forgive it. My daughter may have fallen for your tale of woe, but not me. Come near either of us again, and I'll see you into prison, and by God, you'll rot there if I have anything to do with it. Now get out!
Oh, Mr. Miners, something terrible's happened.
Agnes, what is it? It can't be so bad, surely.
Father has told Anna she can't live here anymore.
Agnes shouldn't have told you.
Of course she should have told me. What on earth has happened?
Father and I disagreed. He's asked me to leave.
It can't be serious.
Father isn't one to joke about these things.
Are you sure you're not exaggerating?
There's one thing you can do for me, Henry, please. Give Will Price a job.
Price? We've just been speaking to him. Your father was there.
Please give him something. I don't know how he's to live.
I'll wait till your father gets home.
No, you mustn't. You mustn't make him more angry than he already is.
Oh.
Father's coming!
It's all right, Agnes, really.
Well, happen I stumbled on you unawares.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Tellwright.
Oh, she's brought you to soften me up, has she? Ah!
Father!
Shut your noise! Well, Miners, what is it?
I'm in love with Anna, and I want to marry her.
She'll betray you. It's her nature.
Father!
Mr. Tellwright, I don't know how you can speak of Anna like that.
You don't know her, lad. But marry her and you soon will.
It's my intention to marry her and give her a good life.
I expect her inheritance makes her doubly precious to a young colt like yourself with big plans.
Anna and I have never discussed money.
£50,000 is enough to turn the head of any man.
£50,000?
Oh, there's a twinkle in your eye now and no mistake.
Even if she didn't have a penny,
oh,
I would...
Oh, very gallant Miners. I'm sure the money means nothing to you. Well, do what you want. I don't care. You'll be taking her off my hands, and I thank you, sir. She's no longer welcome under my roof.
You can't mean that, sir.
I'm not in the habit of saying things I don't mean. Agnes can keep house. We'll not miss her.
Agnes has to go to school, Father.
No one has to do anything unless I say so. Now get out! Be off with you both. I never want to lay eyes on you again.
You should rest, Edwin.
I will do. Now you're here and you can sit with him. I've left George my watch on the bedside table. He likes to hear it ticking. When my dad was George's age, he worked in the pot bank. Didn't tell anyone except that old buffer Tellwright. I never understood him, but maybe that's not our mission, to understand one another.
Edwin.
I love you. I've always loved you. I realise in one way or another I've never stopped listening out for news of you. A part of me has always been with you all these years.
Edwin. I have to tell you something. George's father was married before. He was still married when we met. I didn't know. George is illegitimate.
I don't understand.
I'm not married. I never was. I was too ashamed to tell anyone what happened. That's why I could never write to you, why I cut myself off completely.
Where is he now, George's father?
He's in prison. I haven't seen him in years. I'd understand it if you hated me. I've never deserved you. But you must know, and never doubt it, my love for you has never altered.
I think I need some air. I might go for a walk.
Edwin, now you know everything.
Yes.
Miss Tellwright.
Oh, good morning. I should like a banker's draft made out from my account.
Of course. We don't normally see you in the bank, miss. How is your father, Mr. Tellwright?
Very well, thank you. The draft is to be made out to Mr. William Price.
Mr. William Price.
For £100.
Of course.
Oh!
I saw Dr. Heave on his way out. Is George worse?
No. Better. His fever has broken.
Oh, I'm so relieved.
I know. So am I. Oh, you've been so good to him. To both of us.
I've been walking for hours.
Oh.
Every road in this town. There's a bridge I stood on once when I was 16. I stood on it again, trying to think. But all I can do is feel. Marry me. Come and live here with George.
Edwin.
Say you will. Let George getting better be a new start for us. Say you will.
I will. Hello? Are you there? Will?
Miss, I didn't hear you. I'm finishing up burning all that I can. I've got to be out in the next few weeks.
Is there no way you can stay on in the house?
It's just as well. I need to move on.
This is my father, isn't it? He wants you out. Just like he wanted you to stay on in the works because no one else would have rented them.
It's business, miss. It's what they're like.
Remember at Sunday school when we were little?
We were great friends.
I'm so sorry for everything that's happened. If I could change it, I'd do anything.
There, no, miss. It wasn't you. You're the kindest person I know. Pick up a snail on the road lest someone trod on it.
I used to be kind and I knew what was real. And God, I believed in him looking down on us. But people do such awful things. We all do such awful things.
My dad used to say the world is what you think it is. Two men can walk through the town and one sees heaven and the other sees hell. It's up to us what we make it all mean.
Are you really leaving?
Thinking about Australia.
All that way? I can't bear to think of you alone. Without your dad. Without anyone to look after you.
Come with me.
What?
I have no money, I know, but I'd work. I'd dig trenches and build railways if I was doing it for you. I'd give you my life if you asked me for it.
Oh. Will.
Forgive me.
It's just...
I'm half mad with grief. I'd best get on here.
I brought you this. Don't read it now. I'll leave it on the table in the kitchen. You won't forget, will you?
I won't forget. Goodbye, miss. Good luck.
Name, do you think you're doing?
Oh, it's you, Will. There's a shoot here this afternoon. A few of us bagging some hair. Go on walking like that and you'll get yourself killed.
Very good, sir.
Will, I'm sorry about your father.
We must pray the good Lord has mercy on his soul.
Oh, Reverend, we don't normally see you in the Dragon.
We went to your lodgings. They said you might be here.
Sit down.
I saw Will Price this afternoon. He was walking over the wild ground up by the moor. We were out shooting and he got himself killed. Didn't seem to know where he was or care.
It's been a bad time for him. There's no denying that.
I didn't like the look of him. I don't mind telling you. When we finished, I came back by the high path and I found this. It's his jacket. I recognised it from earlier on.
Well, where was it?
By the mouth of the mine shaft, just off the path. It was folded neatly. There was no sign of Price. It's a cold day. A man would need his coat.
Have you searched it?
I was there with Osborne from the constabulary at Hambridge. I told him about the father's suicide. He looked in the jacket. There was nothing except a few coins and a letter from your Miss Tellwright.
A letter?
Wishing him luck. It contained a banker's draft for £100. It's bad enough there's been one suicide in the town. We felt it would do no good to report another. Price has no family, no one to grieve for him, so all in all, we thought it best to leave things as they are. But as the letter is from Miss Tellwright, well, it shouldn't fall into the wrong hands.
I'm grateful. Reverend, it would be best if no one ever knew about this. About any of it. Miss Tellwright, it would be very distressing for her.
We'll draw a line under the whole affair. Really, it's a shame that such a thing should happen, and there was nothing that could be done to prevent it.
Green grows the laurel, and soft falls the dew. Sorry was I, love, at parting from you. Sorry was I, love, at parting from you. So I changed the green laurel for violets so blue.
Anna, I thought you'd run away.
I'd never do that.
Will you really take me with you when you go, Anna?
I've spoken to Henry, and he agrees. We'll find a nice house and everything will be all right.
What will happen to Mr. Price? He bandaged my knee at Sunday school.
He's going away. You must never tell Agnes.
I won't. Is it a secret?
I went to the bank and I got him £100 to help him start again. He's going to Australia.
Is he?
He'll have a good life there. He'll have a family. He'll be happy. In the sun.
In Chinatowns, inspired by the novels of Arnold Bennett and dramatised by Lynn Coughlin and Sean McKenna, Ephraim Tellwright was played by Neil Dudgeon. Anna was Kate O'Flynn. Henry Miners, Joseph Closker. Beatrice, Isabella Inchbold. And Will Price, Joseph Eyre. Agnes was Amy Jane Lee. Edwin, Cameron Percival. Hilda, Lucy Doyle. George, Oliver Zetterstrom. And Auntie Hamps, Carolyn Pickles. Dr. Heave was Tony Turner. Reverend Banks, Michael Burtonshaw, and the bank teller, Sam Dale. Incidental music was arranged by Colin Guthrie and performed by Colin Guthrie, Peter Ringrose, and Ian Conningham. Songs were performed by members of the company. The director was Gemma Jenkins.